This is the Own It Show, where we tell stories of how everyday people made ownership theirs to create extraordinary success.
Hey, Own It family. Welcome back to the Own It Show. I'm Elise, and today we're doing something a little different. We're going to be interviewing our founder, Justin Rothingschoker, today. You guys hear from him every week on this side of the aisle, and we figured we would flip the script and have him tell us a little bit about his own story. This is a story that I know very well, but we thought it would be great to have him share it with you. So instead of me doing Justin's intro, I figured we would let him give us not the 20-minute version, but maybe you can give us the 3 or 4 minute version of your story.
Yeah, so it's funny the way that Own It kind of came to be. It was, if I go back to just the first thing that I remember was I've always wanted to make an impact in the world. I always wanted to serve. Even when I was playing hockey, I loved being able to help others harness their skills, their talents, and bring out the best in them. But going back to like when I was 13 years old, my dad said something to me that really just stuck out and stayed with me forever, to be honest with you, which was talent gets you noticed, but consistency gets you paid. And for me, for the rest of my journey, it was like, how can I be the most consistent version of myself? How can I lean in and make decisions that will allow me to be consistent, allow me to show up in the way in which we need to every day? We see a lot of memes and a lot of social media posts out there about how do you change your life? Well, just do this habit, this habit, this habit, this habit. And it's a laundry list. And it's like, well, how can I do that consistently? How can I make that work? But it really came to be understanding what it took to become the most consistent version of myself. And through my research, through my studies, through my education, my experience in the NCAA, and then in the NHL, really this Own It became a culmination of all of those things together, and being able to do it at the highest level for people.
Certainly quite the story. And I know there's a lot more that goes to it, especially being your partner through it. I've certainly seen the highs and lows that come with it.
Isn't that the life of an entrepreneur though?
It sure is. It absolutely is. One of the things that, you know, I know you and I have spoken about before, but I would love if you could share with the audience is what are, you know, one or two of those key things that you've learned about yourself or come to define yourself as along the way?
So I think there's a couple things. One is humility and what is required to continue to be able to make impact in this world is it starts with humility. It starts with being willing to take a look at what you're doing and knowing that that's not maybe the best way you can be doing it, and knowing that there's going to be 5, 6, 7, 50 iterations of what you're doing before you get it right, or before it sticks, or even once you start doing it right, that there's more iterations that you continue to better what you're doing. So that's the first thing. The second thing is really kind of comes back to something that you said to me, was that leveling up your mindset as an entrepreneur is so extremely important. And that you had said to me probably 2 or 3 years ago that it was my mindset that was going to be a get in the way of reaching the potential that I ultimately wanted to. And when I leaned into that and brought more awareness to what needed to be addressed, from being more patient, being willing to take feedback, being able to adjust to certain failures, not being so frustrated all the time. All of those things, to be honest with you, helped get us to where we are today and ultimately to be able to serve at a higher level. And I think that's something that I've taken to heart, and just a lesson that I would put out to everybody as they're on their own journeys, is that one, it starts with humility. Not just are you able to be coached, but are you willing to be coached? And then two was understanding that your mindset is that limiting factor that will actually hold you back from doing what you're meant to do, what God put you on this earth to do. and that you have to submit to that a little bit and be willing to learn and take strides there.
I'm going to take a little bit of credit for that second one, the mindset piece of things.
Did you not hear what I said? I said you were the one that brought that up.
I did. And I know I brought it up, but it makes me particularly feel really proud to hear that because, you know, it's something that I've been studying for the last couple of years. And it's kind of my half of Own It, I'll say, is the mindset and helping people grow. So I love that you put that in there as one of your key things. You talked about your path to strengthening your mindset, as well as, you know, showing up in a more humble way. You also talked about generating awareness around some of your vices, like lack of patience, like frustration, like anger, all of those types of things. One of the things that I'm curious to understand, you know, from anybody that we interview, but men in particular, is what is your process, right? Okay, you're aware. Okay, I get frustrated every so often. I may, you know, lose my cool, or, you know, I may show up not in the ideal way. I may not have as much patience as I know I should. So great, you have that awareness. But now how do you go about changing that and improving upon yourself?
So I think it's being willing to have more grace towards myself. Big part was when it would happen before, I'd get down on myself, or I'd get more frustrated. One thing would lead to the next, and it would be just this downward spiral. And now having a thought interrupt, a thought pattern, that pause that you speak about all the time, that played a big role into it. But also leaning in and deepening my spiritual awareness, and just trusting that the plan that God has for me is, there's nothing that he never said it was going to be easy, but it's simple. Is that you rely on him. You rely on through the good times and the bad times. There's going to be great times. There's going to be tough times, but you're meant to be exactly where you are for a reason. And whether I don't nail a speech or a talk as well as I wanted, or whether I can't get a sponsorship deal locked up by a certain date and it goes over a little bit, I used to get frustrated by that. But there was, as you look back on that, there was always a reason for it. Even like the sell of certain companies or IPs, like they're taking longer than normal, but it's for the good and the betterment of what is known that's going to happen in the future, that I have no crystal ball to look into. Mm-hmm. And trusting that those people that do, the man upstairs that does, has a plan for us and where we're wanting to go, and that you just ride the wave and that you just live in the present moment with it. And again, that word surrendering to it, to make sure that you're able to truly enjoy where you're at that moment, and know that you are exactly where you need to be.
So it's really remembering to trust in something greater in yourself, and realizing that there's an opportunity where you're at, opportunity to either learn something, to surrender to something, whatever it may be. Is there something you do to trigger your mindset when you have the awareness that you might be getting down on yourself?
I mean, yeah, it's with the Whoop band.
And I'm actually intentionally asking this because I don't know the answer to this.
Yeah, so it's with the Whoop band. And so whenever I feel myself getting frustrated, I just reach in and just give it a little snap. And it, again, brings me back to that present moment. It's something that is like, oh yes, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm doing. These are the decisions I'm consciously making. And goes from, again, I'm still something that you say, but it takes you from living subconsciously to living consciously. Mm. Instead of living in how your mind is pre-programmed to respond, react to something, you're consciously making a decision of what you're doing, how you're reacting, how you're responding, which allows you to, quite frankly, respond in a very powerful way. Mm-hmm. That puts you in a position to have a larger impact, and a position to make a stronger decision, and ultimately lead to something that is far greater than anything you could ever imagine. And I think that's the unique part about it is there's a lot of things that we think we can control. And it goes back even to our eight controllables, where if we try to control things outside of that, then all of a sudden we eliminate the ability for ourselves to truly control what we can control, how we show up in certain situations, the habits in which we do, how we sleep, how we eat, the mindsets in which we show up with, the people around us, the people we interact with, our decisions we make, how healthy we are. All of these things are within our control. But when we start deviating into the areas that that we don't have control over, but we think we do, it gets us into a world of hurt, and we're never actually able to make those strides forward. Yeah. And we try to do it on our own. And the example that, I mean, we've seen on all these shows and movies we've been watching is God's walking on water. And when you're leading with him, you're walking on water with him. And the moment you start to take your eyes off them or move away, is that's when you start to sink.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's the understanding of control, what you can, but know that not everything is within your control.
Yeah.
There's a very fine line there. When we try to control that which is not within our control, that's where it gets really, really difficult.
Yeah.
And we start to get frustrated and we jump into what I call that catabolic mindset. Now I have a little bit of an unfair advantage in listening to you talk through this. But just something I wanted to add, is, you know, in being your partner, not only in life, but also in the business, watching you walk through this, I will also say it's had an impact on our relationship as well. Not only our personal relationship, but our working relationship. And I've watched you and been able to be alongside you as you grow into the more powerful, stronger, more conscious man that you are becoming today and are continuing to become. So bravo, honey.
Oh, thank you.
Good work. one of the things, I want to come back to the spiritual component of things in a minute, but I want to touch on, you actually brought it up before I was at, you stole my punchline, was about the eight controllables. And, you know, tying it back to this idea of what we can control and what we cannot, we intentionally call them the eight controllables. But can you tell us what the goal is of these controllables and ultimately the impact that it has on your body, on your mindset, on your outlook on life, to be able to work through these eight core controllables in a way that is personalized for every single person?
Yeah, so everybody, in everybody's journey, you're looking for a foundation in something you can rely on, something that you can set rituals for, something that you can set routines for. And when you find these, you start to get into a rhythm. You start to really feel better mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. You get into the zone. We talk about flow state a lot, and how the amount of work, the productivity, the creativeness that you can be in, the powerful state that you can be in when you're in these places. Mm-hmm. And each one of you guys as listeners knows exactly what that feels like when you're in that deep state of thought, that deep state of creativity, that deep state of flow. But a lot of times we're not aware of what we've done to get there. We're not aware of what we've done to end up in a very patient state or in a creative state or feeling so aware and energetic. Like it just happens because certain balls have fallen into place, and it ends up being the minority of the time that we feel that way. Now, how we've driven it down to the eight controllables is it all comes back to stress, and it comes back to how do we handle stress, and that knowing that every single thing in our day, whether it's our butt in the sands and feet in the water, sitting out on the beach, to chasing a cab in New York City in a rainstorm and we're late for a meeting and our briefcase just popped open. Mm. Like it's 0 to 100 on a scale, but every single thing in this world is stress. And the way in which we optimize that, the way in which we build capacity to handle more and make sure that that last example I gave is not 100%, but rather 50, is by controlling what we can control, is making sure that, again, the eight controllables: sleep, nutrition, mindset, self-care, hydration, nutrition, environment, and immune function. thank you, mm-hmm. are key to make sure that we're lining these things up. And so that all of a sudden, when we do wind up in that situation, we've already looked after what was controllable. We've already done that. We've already built our capacity to handle more and do more. I gave this example the other day is it was a somebody with a six-year-old that wakes up in the middle of the night. And they're like, well, my six-year-old wakes up at 4 a.m. every single morning. Like, how am I supposed to optimize my sleep? I said, well, what time are you going to bed? He's like, well, I go to bed like midnight, 1 o'clock. I was like, okay, well, you control what time you go to bed, but you don't control what time you wake up. Because if your son's coming into your bed, waking up at 4 a.m., yeah, that sucks. But if you're going to bed at midnight or 1 o'clock, that's 3 or 4 hours of sleep a night. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not optimal. Mm-hmm. But guess what? Imagine you were able to take that 3 or 4 hours and turn it into 5 or 6 or 6 or 7. Now it's no longer such a big deal to be woken up at 4 a.m. And actually, you could see it as a positive. You get to spend a little bit of time with them. Maybe you read a book with them in the morning. Maybe you sit by the fire with them in the morning. Maybe you go and play mini hockey with him in the basement before you go and do your workout. Maybe he comes and does your workout with you. Maybe he goes for a walk with you. Whatever it is, you can now make that into a real powerful opportunity because you've controlled the controllable, which is how you're going to sleep at night. Getting into bed at 10 p.m. and sleep, falling asleep, now all of a sudden gives you 6 hours of sleep every night, which is far better than 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. You're doubling it. And that now becomes sustainable. That now becomes something you can now do for a little bit longer of time. Now, is it optimal? Obviously not, but it's controlling what you can control mm-hmm. to build this out. And now people have a direction. People have guardrails that they can set for themselves and say, oh, you know what? I do have something I can focus on. I do have something I can lean into. I do have something I can improve on. And when we, as humans, we go back to like behavior change in psychology, when we do have something in which we can follow a set boundary line, it allows us not to deviate beyond those. Mm-hmm. But if we don't have set boundaries for ourselves, we're navigating a no man's land. And it becomes, again, frustrating and catabolic in nature, which tells our body that we have to operate in a stress state in order to survive. And that's just simply not true.
Yeah, exactly. And just to further that, one of the things that I really love about it, and it's kind of ironic, but essentially the 8 controllables are built in a way to aid us in getting back to our most natural selves, to our most natural habits.
Yeah.
And that's so powerful because, you know, you talk about the situation in New York City with hailing a cab in the rain and your briefcase pops open, right? Like we have the world today puts so many stressors on us that it's essentially making your way through those stressors and saying, okay, how do I either have this help me become more resilient or completely eliminate it?
You're exactly right. And the unique part about that is as the world, and this is why I brought up the stress scale, that everything in our world is stressful. Everything is a stressor on our body, is that as we've become, as there's been more inventions, as we've developed as humanity, a bunch of things have been put in into our environment, if you will, that quite frankly are only adding to the stress scale, like blue light, for example. Yes, we have mm-hmm. computers, we have cell phones, we have TVs, we have all these things that make luxuries, even our lights that we have on in our homes. But it's blue light that changes the melatonin and serotonin levels in our body that change our circadian rhythm at night, that impact our sleep. And sleep, we know, is required for longevity and optimal health and vitality. So just by taking something that's making our life more enhanced, if you will, it's actually adding a different stressor to us. Same thing as the communication between cell phones. Well, now we're so connected that we feel like we're always on. Because we're always on, we are always having to react to something instead of taking time to respond. And so if you notice, every single one of the 8 controllables has an impact to some level of your life. Anything that you have that is like an excuse or a barrier that we're talking about falls into one of these 8 controllables, no matter what it is. You're like, well, I can't get a salad for lunch, or I don't eat lunch because I'm always on the go. Okay, well, let's figure out a way in which we optimize our nutrition pillar. How do we get that salad for lunch? What does this look like? What kind of planning does this require? I can't get movement in my day. Okay, well, I doubt that. It's And I always come back to, it's not that you can't do something in the e-controllables, it's that you won't. Mm-hmm. It's that you've consciously made the decision that you aren't going to. And whatever point in time that happened to consciously make that decision, it's now become the subconscious world that you live in. Mm-hmm. And the language in which you use, going back to what I had to learn from how I was reacting to things, living in that subconscious world, that I would respond with frustration. I would respond with a stress reaction, rather than pausing, taking a moment to now act in a more powerful state, in a powerful way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that is the perfect balance of inner and outer energy right there. What you just described is being able to use the outer energy to help bolster your inner energy or your mindset.
Completely.
You know, I think one of the things that's really interesting about ownership is that about living in ownership is that it demands you to connect with your purpose and your passion and to live in alignment with that.
Is this the area of spirituality you're coming back to?
It is. This is the area of spirituality that I am coming back to. And so I know you didn't always have clarity on what your purpose was, but what is it that you now come to understand is your purpose? And it's so clear that you have passion in what it is you do. I mean, even just sitting here today, you have so much passion talking about Own It and the eight controllables and all of those types of things. But what is your reason for getting out of bed every day that allows you to live in alignment with your purpose?
So my purpose is to change the health and habits of the entire world. It is something that's bigger than myself, to truly allow people to understand what it feels like to live, what it feels like to live in a powerful way, what it feels like to have an impact, and what it feels like to serve. And there's so many people out there that are trying to serve and they can't, or are struggling. And the reason they're struggling is because they are trying to do it themselves, and understanding that it doesn't need to be so hard. Mm-hmm. And that for me is a real passion and a fuel for me, because I've lived in that place, and I've struggled in that place. I've been that person for a lot of my life, actually, thinking that I needed to do it myself, that I needed to, Dallas Jenkins, the creator of The Chosen, did an article with, I can't remember his name, the guy who plays Jesus. And if you actually go back and you look at his career, the guy who played Jesus, mm-hmm. he was on his last dollar. He had $100 in his pocket, or $20 in his pocket. He had $20 in his pocket. He was $100 overdrafted in his bank account, and he had no work in sight. And he woke up, and he's in Hollywood now. He's been there for 9-10 years. And he goes, you know what? Like, I've always followed God. I've always given him everything except my acting career. I've never given him my acting career. Like, I've always just said, you know what, God, I'm in Hollywood. I know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I know Hollywood. You know everything else. Mm-hmm. And it was that moment that he just said, yeah, I give everything to you. And not 2 weeks later, Dallas Jenkins called and asked him to play Jesus. Wow. And completely changed his career, completely mm-hmm. transformed everything. And like, you can't make that stuff up.
Right.
And it's something that, I mean, now almost 380 million people, they're going to reach a billion people within.
That's their goal.
Yeah. Within the next year, probably. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just think about that for a second, how amazing that is. And knowing that that's what we're able to do in a really powerful way. That's what I've learned over this, and what I'm trying to help teach people through health and wellness, through longevity, through knowing that you do not have to break yourself down to nothing to succeed, but rather the opposite. When you treat yourself and lead your own way through the physical being, that and the controllables, that all of a sudden life changes, and life changes in a really powerful way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I love how you ended on that note of life changes in a really powerful way, because one of the key things about ownership is there's almost living in pre-ownership and then something happens and then you live in post-ownership. Tell us about your journey to come to start living in ownership.
So I think, again, it comes back to me wanting to do everything myself. Mm-hmm. Where I grew up in a Christian home, had awesome parents that made that a part of my upbringing. But I also think there's a certain time in your life where your own faiths and spirituality becomes like, it becomes personal for you. Like you take ownership of it. Mm-hmm. And going through my entire life, even dating back to that time that my dad said, "Sun talent gets you noticed, consistency gets you paid." Okay, I have to figure out the best way for me to be consistent. And so every through my undergrad degree, my master's degree, my postgraduate work, my every certification I got, playing hockey, every job I got, my journey through the NCAA, the championships, the NHL, all of these things, it was all like, how can I get to the next level? How can I impact the next people? And it took me to dark places, from anorexia to depression to divorce to addiction to you name it. It was like it across the board, and life didn't really start becoming and again, I don't want to say easy, but life became simple. Because life is never easy. There's nothing in life that I'm just like, oh yeah, just float through this. But no, it becomes simple because you can go back to those processes that are there. You go back to the eight controllables and you go back to the foundation, the outer circle, which is physical, the eight controllables. And then you rely on the core spiritual purpose in which you're serving from, and everything in between then gets filled. Mm-hmm. And that's the simple process in which you're able to come back to. And it was after I got fired from the NHL, I think, that I really started on this navigation space, or this adventure of taking true ownership of my spiritual life, but then also of myself and how I needed to level myself up and change the way in which I was doing things and truly be different. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really powerful. And, you know, I think we've touched on many times the process to get there and the growth that you've seen since then. But, you know, as my uncle would say, there's so much more room to grow, and it's a continual process. And
I love what the saying is of the moment that you take your eye off of what you're doing is when things become difficult again. Just ask a sailor what happens if you go half a degree off for mm-hmm. a week, a month, mm-hmm. a year. You end up in a
completely, on the other side of the world.
You're in a completely different destination. Yeah. And so having, again, this is why the eight controllables are and the system is so great, is you need a constant checks and balances. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to not focus on your bed routine and what time you're going to bed. And all of a sudden a month later, you're like, man, I haven't been in bed before midnight in a month and a half, a year. And I wonder why I'm underperforming, getting sick all the time, not being able to be there for my family, not being able to be there for my business. And it's a struggle again, trying to do it all myself. Well, why am I staying up that late? Well, I'm thinking I'm doing all of this stuff at night that is actually not getting me any closer to where I need to be, because I'm trying to do it all myself again.
Right.
And so having a checks and balances, having something to continually check back into and say, am I following it? Am I not? Completely changes the game. And it allows you to know that you've never nailed this. Your journey's never over. It's mm-hmm. a constant iteration and constantly evolving as you get better, because everything is a glass ceiling. The moment you think you've gotten to the top, let's break through again. Let's mm-hmm. break through again. Let's continue to level up. And when you continue to have that mentality about things, life becomes really fun. And it's this engagement to truly allow you to, again, to live differently. There's select people that live this way. And when you're around them for a little while, you're like, you're different.
Right. You can tell.
You're different.
I've never heard that phrase. Everything is a glass ceiling, and then you just break through it. I'm going to steal that.
You should.
Continually breaking through it.
Yeah.
So what would the founder of Own It define as ownership?
Ownership is everything, but ownership allows you to truly experience life in a freeing way.
Mm. Isn't that what we all want?
Completely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you can submit to ownership and not take it in the way in which it's been put in today's culture of ownership is hard and ownership has to be like in your face and ownership.
Brené Barrett.
Yeah. Ownership is just like your punishment, but rather no, ownership is powerful, and ownership is freeing, and ownership is literally, ownership is everything. And there is no way to get where you want to get besides going through ownership store. Mm-hmm. And I think when you are able to have a situation and a system and an awareness that allows you to lean into something that allows you to exist within ownership, that becomes really fun.
Where can people find you? I know there's a lot of places, but give us the top three.
Nah, I'll just make it simple. So best way to really reach out and find myself is on Instagram at Justin Roth, R-O-E-T-H. And then you can obviously navigate and figure out everything from Own It at ownitcoaching.com.
Awesome. Thank you. So Own It crew, you heard it from the founder himself. Ownership is everything. And when we learn how to live in ownership, and really ultimately it's quite simple, but when we learn how to live in ownership, it is freeing. It allows us to live our lives in the way that we want. Think about those 8 controllables that Justin listed off, and where are some ways that we can focus in on and start to eliminate that unnecessary stress in our lives. And know that when we do that, it allows us to level up not only our physical capacity, it allows us to level up not only our outer energy, but it also has a massive impact on our inner energy, on our mindset, on the way we perceive the world. And in order to close a loop and bring it all together, make sure that you're crystal clear on what it is that your purpose is, and start living in alignment with that every single day, because that is where you will have impact. Remember, success is different, so own your different. We'll see you guys next week.